You know, over the years as a minister, I've run into many, many people. And most people I run to are good-hearted and want to serve God and want to do better. My favorite is when someone comes up to the prayer line and has already analyzed their situation or their spouses or their children and has declared to me, I need you to cast the devil out of me or out of my children, out of my spouse. And they look at me like, okay, I'm tired of dealing with this stuff, and I want you to lay hands on me and let the anointing deliver me. And really what they're saying is, I don't want to fight against this thing. And I understand, because the fight with the flesh can be a very personal problem to overcome, and especially if you only focus on discipline. There's some things that we fight with that may seem to take a lifetime to overcome. And I always say to people, like, look, I can cast out devils. I was trained by Norval Hayes, who was trained by Lester Sumrall, on how to cast out devils. And we could cast out big devils and little devils, but you can't cast out the flesh. The flesh cannot be cast out. It must be mortified. Mortified means put to death. So there's some parts that we struggle with personally that we wish someone could just pray for us and God deliver us. But that part is your flesh. That's your situation that He's already set you free from. You now must enforce mortification into that area. Rather than hoping that some minister can lay hands on you or God's anointing will fall on you and you'll be changed. And these are some of the very personal things that we go through. You know, you hear the stories from many people. I went to the altar before I was saved, I had all these problems of the world. And when I was born again, 80% of it just stopped. But I was left with 20% of it. And sometimes they blame God for that, that God left me with 20% of things to struggle through and took the other 80 for whatever reason. And that's okay if your 20% that you're struggling with is something minor, like smoking or eating too much cheesecake or something like that. But for some people, they struggle with some pretty dark desires. They're pretty broken on the inside. And that'd be unfair for God to leave that. Why didn't you take the ugly stuff and just leave me with the little stuff? You know, so the answer is God didn't leave you with that. That's the part of your natural man that needs to be mortified. So there is a natural man that you have that wasn't saved, that wasn't born again. I'm going to quickly go to Romans, and we'll look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we certainly shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that this body of sin might be done away with, that there should be no longer slaves to sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. But now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing," this is verse 9, "knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For death that he died to once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reconcile yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." So I want us to see here that in salvation, the old nature was put to death, the old sin nature was mortified, was killed, or brought and quickened to life, that you now born again. The body of sin was done away with. That was the nature of sin that you were born with from Adam. That was replaced with a new nature of light. God spoke into the darkness and brought forward light into your new nature. And now he tells you that it's your duty, because you died that moment. It was resurrected in Christ, newness and life. You're now a new creature. But you were left with this mortal body. This outward man was left to death, left to darkness. It wasn't rescued. It will be when the trumpet sounds, but until then, you have to deal with it. It's not God's job to deal with your body. He already did. He already, through Jesus, conquered every sin, every sickness, every struggle was defeated by Jesus. Now it's your personal fight to overcome what is in your natural man. Now, if you've been listening to this transformation series enough, this will make sense as I begin to describe it. So your natural man, this outward man, this mortal body, it says here in verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So we are to take our mortal body. So the imagery, the way it is that you receive the new nature. That's the body of sin that was done away with. It was quickened from sin to righteousness, from darkness to light. And also your inner man, your inner body, was also quickened to life and righteousness. But your outward body was left in death, left in darkness. It was not rescued by God and will not be until the trumpet sounds and you receive a new outward body. Now, when we think about the body, it's important we understand that the body isn't just your fingers and your toes and your nose and your hair, but it's also your natural part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. That is also in the natural man. The inward man was brought to life. The outward man was left in darkness. And that's why we have to force our body's desires to line up and bow its knee to righteousness. This is the first decision you make as a believer, to no longer listen to your natural man to tell you who you are or what you need. And we're actually to chain up our mortal body to the new nature and say, mortal body, you bow your knee to the voice of the new nature. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So sin can reign in your mortal body. I want you to understand the desire for sin comes from the mortal outward body. You don't have two natures. You don't have a nature of sin anymore, but you have a body, a natural man that wasn't rescued, that has the appetite for desire and desires for sin. And that's why we don't let it reign in our mortal body, that we should obey it in its lusts. Now, many churches focus only on the smoking and drinking and stop doing those things. But the mortal body has many attributes that are not godly, that aren't technically what we would call carnal sins, but they're less qualified than what God has for you. I use the example of a little girl who came to Bible college, and she was wearing, during the first service, the worship service, we'd already gone through the handbook of, you know, what the rules were, how to dress appropriately. You know, they're Bible college students, they have to learn all these things. And her outfit was a little skimpy and revealing, and she was attractive. And all the first-year Bible college students, the males who were going to be preachers one day, had a hard time worshiping God because they kept eyeballing her. And I remember having to call her in to meet with me and the secretary and explain to her that she had to dress more appropriate for a Bible college. And I remember her looking at me with the most innocent face and meaning it from her heart. She said, I did dress appropriately. I went and got special clothes to be in Bible school. See, it wasn't on purpose that she felt she had to dress skimpy. There was a brokenness in her that told her that she was not attractive or not worth anything unless she can get a boy to oogle her or snap his head and look at her just for a minute. It was like a three-hour loop that every 3 hours, if she can get a boy to look at her, then she would feel attractive, pretty, worth something. But then every 3 hours, she needed that kind of attraction from a boy. And this was a cycle in her life. And so it wasn't a a thought, like I'm going to do this and get away with it. It was a motive, a pushing, a lust, a desire from her outward man. And see, this is why I can say you're not your struggles. This little girl was born again. So the real her was already righteous and holy and perfect in God's eyes, but she was still wearing the body of a natural man, a natural part of her soul that had desires that wanted to be fed and fulfilled. And it was pushing her without her realizing it wasn't her that was broken, it was her outward man. And that's why I tell people, you're not your struggles. Quit saying that you are your struggles. You can say, I'm struggling with this area, but you're already righteous and holy in Christ. Now, if you give in to it, then you are acting in unholiness. But you yourself are righteous because you have the righteousness of Christ in you. Your inner man, your inner body is now created in righteousness and holiness. So the desire for that little girl to be approved by a boy beyond normal was in her broken part of her natural soul. Now, we all have brokenness in our natural man. The way you're brought up, your experiences in the past, your choices all help to shape your natural man, the natural part of your soul. But thank God you're born again, and now you start anew with Christ and can have as much of Him as you want. So this process here he's talking about, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, tells us where the desire for sin, desire for lust, desire for things against God's will, where they come from. It is in your natural mortal body. The mortal body isn't just your eyeballs and your nose. It is all actually also your what we call the soul, what I would say the natural part of your soul. Because you also have a spiritual part of your soul that's alive, and you can find intellect, spiritual intellect, and spiritual emotions from your inward man that can grow. The love of God can grow. The wisdom of God can grow in your inner man. While the outward man, which was left to darkness, left to death, must be controlled and made to bow down. And ultimately, if you follow the right process, you mortify the desires of your natural man. I had one man, he was asking for prayer. He said, I need help. My wife, she's going to leave me, and I don't want her to. I love her. I want her to be with me. Can you talk to her and help her to stay with me? And it turns out that he said, but I hate her. I love her and hate her. I love her, but I hate her when I'm in the room with her. I can't stand her. I want her to leave me, but I love her. I don't understand. And he said that she's tried everything to try to win his approval, but the way he worded it was, there's something in me that just rejects her. And he said it wasn't like that when I was dating her. When I was dating her, everything was great, but as soon as we got married, something in me just rejected her, and I hate being in the room alone with her. But I don't want to get divorced. I want to make this work. And you know, that's when we got to tell him, like, well, I don't think she's the problem. I think you're the problem. But if you ask him, do you want to make it work? Yes, I want to make it work. I want her, but there's something in me that's making me want to get rid of her. Well, I was just learning a lot of this imagery of transformation. I asked him a few questions. And it turns out when he was a young kid, about 7, that his mother and her boyfriend and his little sister drove to go see his grandma. And he was in the kitchen with his grandma and heard the car start up. He ran out to the car, and the car was driving away. The boyfriend was driving. The mom was in the front seat. And he ran up and grabbed the back door handle of the car, and it was locked. And his little sister was there, and his mom reached over and pointed her finger at the little sister and said, "Don't you unlock that door." And he said, "I ran as long as I could run to keep up with the car until I got exhausted and fell off and fell in the ditch." And he knew that his mom had abandoned him with his grandma. For whatever reason, that's what happened. And I, like a detective, said, "Aha, I know what happened. I know what's going on with you." See, he was looking at his spouse wondering why he was fighting the desire to hate her, while he still wanted to love her and knew how lucky he was to have her. And I said to him, what was going on was his natural soul decided for him, without discussing it with him, his natural part of his soul decided, you know what? When my mom abandoned me, it broke me so much that I will never, ever let a woman have the power to abandon me like this again. And it made that brokenness. See, that was a broken part of his young life. And it created in his natural emotions, the natural part of his soul, a lust or desire in his mortal body that said, I will never allow a woman to have the power to abandon me again. And we see this with many people where emotionally they will, without knowing, will abandon people first. If they think you're going to move on from them, they'll just get rid of you before you get a chance to reject them. Well, this natural part of his soul decided that he would never let a woman do that to him. So when he was dating the girl, it was great. And that's why I told him, I said, when you're dating her, everything was great. But as soon as you put a ring on her finger, your natural part of your soul has been trying to get you to bow your knee to it and say, you're letting this woman in our life where she can hurt us. Let's get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her. That's what his natural emotions was telling him every day, every night, that she was close to him. And that's why he was having that struggle. And as I described this poor man's dilemma, it should be clear to you some of the things that you go through. Some of the reasons you feel a certain way or desire certain things is because your natural soul has desires and plans for you. And it's not always smoking and drinking. Sometimes it's as simple as who's in charge of your life, or following God or following it. Many people live their life serving their natural part of their soul and don't even realize that they pick their friends, their job. They make many decisions in life based on appeasing or not getting their natural soul angry at appeasing their natural soul. And they can dress it up as serving God as well, but many Christians live their life serving their natural man and don't even realize they're serving their mortal body. Because they don't smoke or drink, it can be hidden as just personality. But see, when you were born again, your inner man came to life, meaning the outward body and the outward part of your soul is no longer you anymore. I tell a story of the man who was pushing the snow in Canada. You do that when it snows, you got to get out and that with a shovel to move the snow off the driveway before it turns to ice. And he was out shoveling the snow off his driveway and had a heart attack. And he gave a testimony of how he was in heaven the moment he died with a heart attack. You know, praise God, there was two paramedics walking on the road or on the sidewalk, saw him fall down and were able to resuscitate him and bring him back. And so he described how he walked in heaven for a short time until they brought him back. So I like to use that as an example, as a man who maybe wasn't perfect on this earth and maybe was grumbling and complaining that he was shoveling snow. And maybe he wasn't the nicest man, but he was a Christian. And let's say that man had anger issues. And the people who knew him knew he was a Christian, but don't do this or he'll get angry. And then he dies and he's in heaven. So that moment he's in heaven. Now he's in heaven walking around and there's no anger. He's totally at peace with everything. He's not impatient. He's perfect. And then they bring him back. And in those few moments, he went from being imperfect to perfect, back to being imperfect. Now the anger is back again. Well, that tells you where the source of that man's anger is in the natural man. We can use that little girl as an example, who had to dress a certain way to get boys' attention because she needed to feel loved or worthy. Wasn't a thought process. But let's say she flirted just to get some attention because she had a part of her natural soul that was broken. Let's say she died shoveling snow, had a heart attack, and she was a flirt, and then she's in heaven. Well, the moment she's in heaven, she's no longer driven by the natural part of her soul trying to entice her to get attention. She now feels complete and whole and loved. She's perfect. She's not flirting with the angels. She's totally at peace with herself. And then a few minutes later, the paramedic brings her back to life, and now she's back in her body. And she opens her eyes and sees this good-looking paramedic giving her mouth-to-mouth, and she starts to flirt with him. Why? Because the source of her brokenness is not her. It's in her natural, mortal body. And that is the source of your battles. And I want us to see this, to know where we stand, where we fight from. So many Christians are trying to fight from where they are in the natural. And they find themselves in church, serving God, afraid to share any of their struggles because people will judge them, any of their hidden desires. And, you know, one of the reasons many things blow up with Christians is because they've learned not to trust telling anyone their business, because people in church like to talk many times and will share their secrets. And so many people hide how they really feel, what they're really thinking, what they're really going through. And they don't, there's no real safe place to confess or to get help. And so that is the source of those hidden things, is the natural mortal body, the natural part of your soul. And so if you think that's what you're trying to fight from, you'll always constantly think that I am a loser accepted by God. God must be blind, because if he saw all of my imperfections and wrong desires, he would have kicked me out of the club long time ago. And so we think we're fighting from a complete brokenness, and I'm trying to get repaired before God will ever use me. Well, the truth is, your outer man is broken, but your inward man is alive and righteous. And so it's not about fixing the outward man. It's about rebuilding the inner man with the knowledge of God. And from that rebuild, that knowledge on the inside, that's how you fight and mortify the outward man. Let's go back to a few of our verses here. Colossians, real quick. Chapter 3, verse 10, and to have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So here is the image that you have a new man. This is the inner man. The new man is where the renewing of knowledge takes place. So when you pray in tongues, when you read the word, the truth of the word goes into your inner man. Not your outward man. Your outward man will try to analyze it, but it's not the same species as God, so it can't even understand the word. It will try. It will try to come up with a definition and try to tell you what it is, but the real truth must be taught to you, your inner man, by the Holy Spirit. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image. So the image here is the new nature. So the image inside the new nature is Jesus in his full holiness and love on this earth. And that's the image that grows forward into the inner man. So the inner part of your inner man, the spiritual part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions, must be built up with spiritual truths that come from light, because it is righteous. And it says here that that is where we renew, that's who we renew in knowledge. So we're not trying to renew the outward man. We're never renewing the outward man. The outward man's already left for dead, and God's waiting till the trumpet sounds, and he'll give you a new outward man. And it will be as righteous and holy as your new nature and your inner man. But until then, it is left rotting off of you. That's why it ages. That's why you get gray hair. As you get older, you get wrinkles. I know when I was younger, I didn't believe any of it myself, and older people would tell me stories. When you get older, you got to watch for this and watch for that. Nah, you just lack faith. As you get older, you find out you can't really believe away wrinkles too well or gray hair. You can dye it away, but believing away is a little more difficult. And so this old man, this outward body, contains your brain, emotions, desires that are from this earth. It was not fixed. It was left to dead. You're not trying to fix that before you walk with God. You start new with a new inner man while you're still wearing the outward man. But you can now rebuild the inner man in the knowledge of God. And that is the source of your strength. I'm going to stop here because many believers have the idea that I am just to remove myself and let Jesus show up. So their full process is trying to get out of the way so Jesus can show up. But that's not the picture of transformation. Transformation is that God wants to rebuild the characteristics of Jesus Christ. Think about this. This is heavy. God desires to rebuild the characteristics, the love, the holiness, the peace, the joy, the kindness, the long-suffering that come from heaven. God wants to rebuild the characteristics of Jesus Christ inside of your inner man. He wants to rebuild Jesus' character in you. And from that building up of truth and love and joy and peace, from that building up is where you have the strength to mortify the outward man. Mortification of the outward man isn't just choosing no. It's not just, it starts with that, but it's not, that's just the beginning. You have to build up the inner man first, and then from that position, you're able to live from there instead of the outward man. And so there's many things in my life that I thought were me, that I found out were my outward man, my past, and I was able to mortify them, say, no, you are not me. You are in my mortal body, and I am mortifying you. I'm so glad I get to talk like this, because you really have to listen to the whole transformation series for you to understand what I just said. So it is in the new man, the inner body, that we are renewing the knowledge, according to the image, the new nature of him which created him. Now we're going over to Ephesians, and I'll read just one verse out of a few verses out of chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 22, 23, and 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Now, again, the old man in Ephesians here is your outward body. The outward body isn't just your fingers and toes. It's also your mind, natural mind, your natural set of emotions and natural desires. You have a spiritual set of those that are now lit up by the new nature, are now light and righteousness. And that's where we rebuild in God. That you put off concerning the old former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is powerful. This tells you that not only your new nature was brought to life, but your inner man, your inner body, was also created or quickened by the new nature, the same way your outer body will be quickened at the sound of a trumpet. And that is why now you can understand God and know God. You're not trying to fix the outward man and then grow in God. You need to grow in God immediately once you're saved. And then from that growth, from that maturing, you're able to take the new man, which is now renewed in the knowledge of God, and put him on over the old man. So the way you think about yourself could be one way. The little girl who needed a boy to snap his head to look at her, she could feel like that her whole life. I have many, many people who are fighting with the same struggle at 70 as they were when they were 7, because they never mortified that part of them. And see, that little girl could be that way at 70 if she doesn't get fixed or mortify it. She can still go to heaven and still love God and do her best her whole life, but not overcome. Many of us have things in our life that we should have overcome that we haven't yet. And so my advice to her would be, do your best to restrain that desire, but also Let's focus on building up that new man. Let's pray. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's worship. Let's do these things. Do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. What happens is the real her, the righteous her, the inner man, builds up in knowledge about who she is. And it'll build up so much that she'll see that she is worthy because of who she is in Christ, that she doesn't need a boy to look at her to feel pretty. She doesn't need a man to oogle her, to her to feel worthy or loved. But the inner man will grow up so much that that knowledge in her inner spiritual soul, mind, will, and emotions will grow up so much that it will begin to challenge the knowledge in her outward man that says that she's not worthy. And then when that challenge happens, she's able to choose, you know what, I'm choosing to live out of the new man that tells me I'm worthy because I'm a child of God. Jesus loves me. I don't need a man to oogle me to feel pretty. He thinks I'm gorgeous. From that strength is where she's able to mortify and put to death the lie that's been in her since she's been a child. It can happen. It's not, most of the stuff people go through didn't get in there because it's their fault. They're broken because of their past, because of their family, because of many different things in their life. The answer isn't just to tell them to quit acting that way, because many of them don't know why they desire certain things or why they act that way. But the Holy Ghost knows exactly why. Where in the natural man is the desire to do certain things, where the root of it is. And as you pray in tongues, what happens is when you worship, when you build up the inner man, the light begins to shine into the outward man. Pastor Dave would always say, how'd he put it? Rented an old hotel, you walk into the room, and you hear as you walk in through the room to find the, you know, the old light switch where you pull from the ceiling, pull the rope from the ceiling to pull, turn the light on, and you're trying to find it in the dark, and you hear your feet are stepping on cockroaches. And crunch, 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 and you pull the light on, and the light comes on. There's a million cockroaches scattering all over the place. He said, don't blame the light for the cockroaches. The cockroaches were always there. Well, this is the process of transformation, that as you let the light of God, the knowledge of God grow in your inner man, it begins to light up and expose in your natural man the root of why you think a certain way, why you feel a certain way that is always trying to pull you and lead you. And when that light shines on it, now you can kill it and you don't have to have it anymore. Life as a Christian isn't to be always struggling all the time, denying myself, fighting myself, fighting this direction, this desire, saying no. It's not to always be like that. There's a place of overcoming to where you actually kill the voice that was put into your natural soul. You kill the root of why you have those desires and thoughts. Again, we're getting a little deep here. We're not talking about smoking and drinking. The many holiness preachers, they'll come and they'll stay on holy. You know, you need to dress a certain way. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop listening to this and watching that. And they have a list of regulations. And once they get done their list and they stop doing all those things, they feel holy. But holiness is so much more than just not smoking and drinking. I call those habits that, you know, like an iceberg. An iceberg is 10% of the iceberg is above the water, while 90% of the iceberg is below the water. You can't see it. Well, that's like your natural soul. You can see 10% of your problems, smoking and drinking and worldliness. But 90% of the flesh is hidden to be like it's normal. It feels like it's you, but it's not you anymore. It's your natural man. It's pride. It's where you get your self-worth from. It's where you get your value from. It's where you get your directions from many times and your standards from. And unless you let the Holy Ghost build up the inner man and let the light shine, then you're never going to see that that's really the flesh, that's not really you. And you've been through some of this, if you prayed enough, where you realize, well, that's, I had to get rid of this, and I didn't know it was a problem until the Holy Ghost told me this is a problem. Well, what happened was you built up the inner man enough that that you could see that it was a problem. I'm in Ephesians here, chapter 5. Let's see, for time's sake here. We'll start in verse 8. For you were once darkened, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And another word for this expose is remove them. So here, he's not talking about the witchcraft out in the world. He's not talking about the demons, principalities, and powers. He's talking within your own natural man. You have to expose the darkness, the works of darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness, and remove them. Verse 12, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. So the source of this light is the new nature, which brought to life your inner man. Now the inner man can hold the truth of God, but it stays empty unless you fill it up. How do we fill it up? Meditating the Word, reading the Word, worshiping God, and praying in tongues fills that inner man up with the knowledge of God. And as that knowledge builds, the light begins to shine its opposing counterpart, the natural man. And so then it begins to expose by light, saying, look, look here, this is the reason why you think you need this, why you think you have to have this. This is the reason, the false motivation. And it exposes it. It shows you the light. Now your job is to see that. Once you see it, is you can remove it. You can mortify it and say, you no longer get to tell me anymore who I am, because I can see by my inner man who I really am. And one by one, the Lord will take you piece by piece. And you, just when you think you're done, you find out, wow, I got a long ways to go. They say it wasn't the top of the iceberg that destroyed the Titanic. It was the bottom 90% of the iceberg that no one could see underwater that destroyed and sunk the Titanic. Well, it's the bottom 90% of men's natural souls, the mortal body, that is stopping us from walking in revival. It's not the smoking, the drinking, pornography. It's everything that looks good, smells good, acts good, looks like God, but is actually sourced from the natural man. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll be shocked, and you should be shocked when you start to discover, wow, that was never God that told me that. That was my natural man trying to sneak in there and say it was God. Let's go to one more set of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll start in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So understand, though I walk in my outward man, I don't war with my outward man. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, many believers in the past have taken these verses as warfare against principalities and powers. And so we have people in the past who've rented airplanes to get up high so they can shout at the devil and bring him down in their area. And really, he's not talking about that in this verse. He's not talking about going to war with principalities and powers. He's talking about the stronghold. Where do strongholds lie? They lie in the flesh. They lie in the outward man. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh, meaning I can't take attributes from this world, discipline, willpower, motivation and mortify the flesh. I can only corral it. I can only restrict it. But true warfare is killing the enemy. And we're to mortify the stronghold that's inside of our natural soul, our natural part of our soul. And so the stronghold is just that. It's a castle built of thoughts, of opinion about you, about life, about success, about happiness. And it's this castle built in your natural man from the past. And it is empowered by an emotion that says, you need this or you're going to die. And this is why many people struggle with different things. Because it's not that, you know, I've never met a drunk, and I've dealt with many alcoholics. I never met one of them who really wanted just to be an alcoholic. They all ended up there because they were fighting something. They were using alcohol to help deal with their emotions. The alcohol did something to them that helped them to make it through the day. So an alcoholic, a drug addict, isn't there because they want to be there. It's because they've given up and they're trying to just survive. Well, beyond drugs and alcohol, our natural man will push you and drive you. And it's a stronghold. It feels like you have to do this or you're going to die. That's the emotion that goes with the stronghold. Because a stronghold is built on something. A stronghold is built on some knowledge of something. They did a study in Canada where they found kids who, at the age of 7, their personality was set. And they interviewed this group of 7-year-olds and asked them their likes and desires and their fears. And then they interviewed them at 14 and then at 21, at 28, and at 35, and I think even at 42 years old, they grabbed the same group and interviewed them, and they found that almost 100% every person had the same fear and the same desires at 42 as when they were 7. As 7-year-old, psychologists will tell you that your personality is set, that you may vary a little bit, but pretty much your personality is set by whatever you experience before the age of 7. And I'm here to tell you that in God's world, that's not true. You are not trapped with the struggle from your past. You have the power in God, not from a laying on of hands or a casting out of a devil, but you have the power by building up the new man, the inner man, renewing it in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of light, about you, who and what God says about you. Will build up so much in your inner man that it will look over to the stronghold in your outward man that has built a wall, a castle wall that's never been tumbled down. You may have struggled with something 1,000 times over and over and over and never been able to overcome it the way you want to. And it may seem like such a stronghold that you're afraid that you'll never get rid of it. God has the power to speak light out of darkness. That means he has the ability to bring light out of nothingness. That's what he can do in every area of your life, in every area you struggle with. I don't care how long it's been or how many times people told you and you haven't been able to change, how many times you've repented and you hate it, if you know what it is. It's like a castle fortified, and it seems like it'll never come down. Well, the way you overcome a stronghold is not by the flesh. It's not through self-help books. It's not through discipline. If you're going to focus on renewing the knowledge of God in your inner man. Spend some time praying in tongues. Spend some time in worship. Spend some time every day in the Word of God and build it up. It may seem like it takes too long, but at least you are not going to stay the same. Most Christians live their whole life and never overcome things. You get to overcome it. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Keep pressing forward, and you will overcome it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What have we been learning? The inner man is where the knowledge of God goes, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, the path he's talking about in all these scriptures, in transformation, the hope for you and for me is it doesn't matter how dysfunctional you are. Doesn't matter how strong that area seems to be. There's a path called transformation which will help you to overcome it, to mortify it. It is going to mean that you're going to have to spend time praying in tongues. How long? As long as it takes. Spend time in worship. Spend time in the Word of God. And what's happening is you're filling up the inner man, the inner spiritual part of your soul, which is righteous and holy right now. And you're building it up in the knowledge of God. And as that knowledge builds up, the Holy Ghost will whisper to you every time you pray in tongues who you are, the way that God sees you. That builds up. And then that stronghold that has been fortified in your history, like the man who just couldn't accept a wife because the stronghold in him said, we'll never let a woman have the power to hurt us like that. Well, that's a stronghold, a castle, a fortified castle in his natural mind, in his natural emotions, a natural part of his soul that dictated to him because of a past hurt. I won't allow you to do it. I won't allow you to marry a woman because then she could hurt. Get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her, was all he could feel every time she walked in the room. That was her his natural emotions trying to get him to get her out. So he didn't, the natural man didn't have to be abandoned again. Well, if he prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues and worshiped, the knowledge, true knowledge of God would build up so much in his inner man that it would be able to confront that stronghold with the truth of God, not just with willpower, not just with self-discipline, but with the truth of God in him. And as it's built up in his inner man, he looks over at the outward man and he says, you know what? I don't need you anymore. I don't need you to protect me. I don't need you to tell me who I am. You are not the truth. And it's from the truth that he's able to get rid of the lie. You can't get rid of the lie until you build up the truth. And so the process of transformation includes building up the inner man with the knowledge of God, with the characteristics of God. And from that place, you begin to expose the strongholds, the darkness that lies within your natural man about who you are, who God is, what serving God is, what success is. And you get to kill it. And once it's dead, it doesn't speak to you anymore. You now live out of the inner man. That is the process of maturing in Christ. This is transformation. It is powerful. It's life-changing. It's world-changing. And the church needs to hear this. Thank you for being with me and listening to me. God bless you.